Let me tell you a story. It's a story of a man named Taylor. Taylor lived outside the city in a poor neighborhood with his younger brother and mother. His father, having abandoned them early on, his mother was left to raise the boys alone. She worked long hours, paid the bills, and kept a roof over their heads. However, for all the good she did, she never taught Taylor about God. As he grew into his teen years, his life grew darker. By the seventh grade, he was stealing. By the tenth grade, he was drinking heavily, and by his senior year, he was addicted to drugs. While once a promising student, Taylor barely graduated, and after a few dead-end jobs, Taylor joined the Army. But his life of debauchery and godlessness only increased while he was in the service. What little money he had, he spent at the bars outside the base. God was very far from his thoughts. After his days in the service, he went back to his hometown, got a job at a local tire plant, a job that he had for the next 30 years. And in that time, he lived with several women, none of whom he really loved. As the years passed, he became more and more bitter, bitter at everybody. His temper, bad enough in his younger years, only grew worse as he grew older. He became a violent man, driving away many of the women in his life. Over time, everybody just learned to leave him alone. But when he was 53, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. As with everything else in his life, he had to fight it all by himself. Toward the end, he was hospitalized for several months, but no one came to visit and no one called. He was a bitter and angry man, ending his life with tubes and pills and ventilators and without God. He died on a Tuesday morning just before the sun came up and there was no funeral. How is it that there could be people in this world that don't know what true love is? How is it that there could be people in this world that don't know what true hope is, or what true joy is, or what true peace is? How could there be people in this world that end up like Taylor in a dark place dying alone? Wes Moore, we talked about last week, wrote a book called The Other Wes Moore, but he's also written another book called Forcefully Advancing. And the purpose of the book is to let churches know, it's a call to churches, a call to arms, to say there are people like Taylor in your neighborhood. And there are people that are hurting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are people that will never, ever hear the comforting words of that gospel. Today in our gospel lesson, Jesus answers, how is it that there could be people like Taylor? And so Jesus, when he's out on the Sermon on the Mount, he tells his disciples a very, very interesting metaphor. He says, I want you to be salt and I want you to be light. And we look at the text this morning and we look at Jesus in verse 13 of Matthew 5, where Jesus points out that he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, this is a curious metaphor that Jesus has. He calls the church to be salt. He calls his disciples to be salt. But why salt? I mean, if I was Jesus and I was telling people a metaphor, I'd say, I want you to be gold. Or I want you to be silver. I want you to be something magnificent. But instead, he uses this metaphor of salt, which if you know anything about the ancient Near East, at the time that Jesus was living, salt was a very, very unusual commodity. It was something that was very, very valuable, but it was very, very simple. People always used salt for a number of things. It was something that you wouldn't be found without. And if you had a lot of salt, that meant that you had a lot of worth. You know, a man worth his salt is a man who's worth the salt that's given to him. As a matter of fact, if you trace the epistemology, if you trace the word usage of salary, the Latin term salary, the root word of that is salt. Because in that time, in Jesus' time, sometimes they would pay, the Romans would pay the centurions through salt. Do we have anything today that we have that is similar to salt? And the answer is no, we don't. So we don't really understand the analogy. But what Jesus is saying is something very profound. Because what this analogy of salt, I was trying to think of what it would be like. What is something that we have that would be useful, that everybody would know its value and everybody would want it? And the only thing that I could come up with was gasoline. How would it be if you wanted to work and your boss said, I'm not going to pay you in money today. I'm going to pay you in a 55-gallon drum of pure unleaded gasoline. Now, aside from the fact that you wouldn't be able to do anything with it because it'd be sitting in your office, but if you could carry that around with you in a little pouch, because that's what salt was, it actually wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? I mean, especially when the price of, you know, gasoline goes up, unless you're from Venezuela, you know, and the price is low. But if the price of gasoline goes through the roof, then if you had a 55-gallon drum of gasoline, it would be a really, really, really handy thing, wouldn't it? You could do almost anything with it. You could put it in your car. You might be able to, well, you wouldn't be able to cook with it. But, I mean, you could trade. You could barter with it. It's so much, gasoline is so much a part of our society, and everybody knows kind of what the wealth of that is and what the value of that is, that it would be kind of a thing that we could use as instead of money. And see, that's what salt was. Salt was so much a part of that culture that everybody knew what it was and everybody knew what its value was. And you couldn't imagine a culture without salt. You just couldn't imagine it. So when Jesus says to the church, I want you to be salt, what he's really saying is this: I want you to be so much a part of the society that what would the society look like if there was no salt? And people would really, really, really miss you, the church, if there was no salt. Jesus is telling us that you need to be so much a part of the society that if the church was gone, people would notice. There'd be a big gaping hole. And yet, Wes Moore, this story is from his book, Wes Moore talks a little bit about Taylor and the people around him. And he says Taylor's story is a sad one, especially to those of us who know the power and the joy of God. We see in Taylor's life a great opportunity for Christ to transform his anger, his bitterness, his loneliness into something that is beautiful. We know this because many of us have been like Taylor in our past lives. We've seen the depths of addictions, experienced the frustration of bitterness, and fought the darkness of depression. If only someone had reached out to him, we say. Indeed, if only. And that's the saddest part of the story. You see, Taylor had Christians around him his whole entire life. His uncle Monroe was a deacon in a church. His favorite teacher in high school, Mr. White, and his baseball coach, Travis, they were Christians. Later, in his first sergeant, Sergeant Martinez, taught Sunday school. His boss for many years, Glenn, went to church every Sunday. This is the real tragedy. None of them stepped into Taylor's world to actively bring the light of Christ to him. No one took the risk to promote God's message to this very angry, lost man. Yes, they were nice people and great neighbors. They were loving teachers and faithful coaches. They set a good example. Their speech was clean and their words were kind. But in the end, they failed him as much as anyone else in his life. We are called to be the salt. There are so many people out there that are like Taylor. They have never heard the gospel message. They're living in depression and bitterness and angry, and they don't understand why they are, and we have the answer, and we just simply don't share it with them. And what Jesus is calling us is that we need to be in every venue across the universe. We need to be proclaiming the message and the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. And I look around at us, I say, are we? Are we in every venue? I think of one place that I know that we just have completely failed, and that's the entertainment industry. You look at any movie that comes out today, without exception, it just doesn't really even come close to matching the gospel message. There are some movies, very, very few that come out, but as an industry at whole, you don't see it. On the internet, every place. We should be on the internet. I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if every Christian across the United States posted their faith statement as a video sermon on the internet so that millions and millions and millions of people could say, this is the hope that I've found in Jesus Christ. We're to be salt. But we're not just to be salt. We're also supposed to be light. We're supposed to be the light. Jesus says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The one thing about light is that it always conquers darkness. You know this, don't you? No matter how dark it is, all you need is just a little flame, and all of a sudden you can see. On a night, even with starlight sometimes, if you let your eyes adjust, you can see. The light always conquers the darkness. I came home the other day, and all the lights were off in the house, and it was really dark, and I had to put my key in the keyhole at the door, and then I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out my cell phone, and I just turned it on. It's just a little bit of the glow from the cell phone. I was able to put the key in the keyhole. Light conquers darkness. That's what light does. Jesus calls us to be the light to the world, and I picture it as being like a lighthouse, a place where people can know and they can say, that is the light. That is the place that I want to go to. The problem is, not all of us live a life that's exemplary of the light that's shown on us, is it? Not all of us live our Christian lives that we want the light focused on. That's where hope is, because sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we do really, really stupid things. The world calls, a lot of the world calls, you know, Christians hypocrites because of the way that we say we should live and the way that we actually live. It's an embarrassing story, but it happened this week, so I'll share it with you. I was driving along a road in Tucson, and I had to change lanes, and I looked, and I didn't see anybody there, so I changed lanes. It turns out there was somebody there, and they honked at me. And they honked and they honked at me. Apparently, I made them really, really angry. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a good thing I don't have a fish on the back of my car because I really, really upset the person behind me. And then I thought, well, but I do have a bumper sticker, Fountain of Life Lutheran Church. That's a terrible thing. But you know, you send a message. You send a message when you do that. But we're all hypocrites. When you think about it, every single one of us, we can't live up to the way that God calls us to live. We're always going to fail. And when the light shines on us, we're going to fail. But see, that's not the light. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light that we share to people isn't that we live a perfect life, because we can't. The light that we share to people is that Jesus is the light. That even when we fail, he is there lighting our life. He is still there revealing our sin and then saving us from our sin. And that's a message the world needs to hear. That is a message the world desperately needs to hear. And it is a message that is just it's like a spark. You know the old song, it only takes a spark to get a fire glowing. There are people in this world that are so bitter and so angry, and they're looking for something that all it takes is just that spark of Jesus to come into their life. And they say, you know what? We're all like you. It's just there's an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And sometimes that spark jumps that from our flame, and it jumps into their life, and the world is changed. That's the light that Jesus calls us to be, to shed, to share his gospel, so that when there are people like Taylor, we can tell them, you know, I was just like you. I was in darkness. I was without despair. I was without hope. I was without peace. I was without love. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the answer to that. He's the one that gives true joy. He's the one that gives true love. He's the one that gives true peace and hope in our life. And it's a great message to share, because it's a true message that people need to hear, to be salt and to be light. In Jesus' name, amen.